we have been pursuing principles in the conquest of our spiritual inheritance as typified in the conquest of Canaan under the command and leadership of Joshua, who is a type of Christ, Jesus. Thus far, in the actual conquest of the land, we've seen the conquest of Jericho by naked faith. We've seen failure at Ai because of sin and arrogance and presumption. And then the conquest of Ai by military strategy. We've seen the conquest of the southern portion of Canaan swiftly at one time, employing supernatural miracles in which the sun stood still for about 24 hours. The long campaign and the conquest of the north. And in that, the triumph over kings, learn not to fear them. The exclusion of worldly means as a means to make the power of God unnecessary. Don't need horses and chariots. And we've seen the expulsion of giants from the land. No more giants in the land of Israel. No more giants in the Christian church. And I had to qualify that. When I say there's no more giants in the church, I'm talking about the one true church of the living God. Now, most of these local churches got some bell cows in them and longhorn deacons and other giants who won't throw their weight around. In fact, they're full of them. But there's no giants in the Christian church. We're all the same stature. None bigger than anybody else. Everybody essential. Nobody unnecessary. Now, in chapters 13 through 21, which is before us, they record the division and distribution of the land to the various tribes of Israel. I'm not going to go through those in every verse. There's not that much profit in them. It is profitable for the history of the Hebrew nation. There will be certain things out of it we're going to take out of it. But we'll make this remark about it. Every tribe, every one of those tribes of Israel, with the exception of Levi, was given an allotted inheritance, a particular, specific inheritance, a portion of that land. Which inheritance was secured to that tribe forever by provisions in the Mosaic Law. Now, this particular portion out here, given to this particular tribe, and that portion of that land could never leave that tribe. If a fellow had a piece of land there and he got in debt and he had to mortgage it and he lost it, the mortgagee could only hold it until the year of Jubilee, the 50th year. And that year, and that, therefore, the only thing he paid for it is how much use he could get out of it. If it was only 2 years in, that's only give him 2 years' worth. If it was 48 years, he'd pay him 48 years' worth. But at the year of Jubilee, everybody got back everything they lost. And there's a tremendous message in that, and I'm going to preach it this morning. But once you got an inheritance, you couldn't lose it. Got the once saved, always saved already there, don't we? Or the security of the believer. What God has given you is secured to you forever. That's enough on that one. But there are those principles there. Now, the tribe of Levi, though, didn't get any land because they weren't supposed to be farming and raising cattle and things like that. They were to minister about the things of the altar. And they lived of the sacrifices that was made by fire. When people would come up and make a sacrifice on the altar, well, they didn't throw that meat away. After they made the sacrifice to the Lord, Levites took it home, put it on their dinner plate, and ate it. That's what they lived by. And so they gave the Levites certain cities to dwell in. And they lived from the tithe and the offerings and the sacrifices of the rest of the tribes. So they not to work the land, but to live for the sacrifice of the tribes. Therefore, they were given cities. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this inheritance. I'm going to put on a couple of questions before you now that come up in the last camp and really caused quite a stir. And the question come up is there a special judgment for Christians, and do some Christians have a better inheritance in heaven than others? Do some folks get a better place in heaven than others? And if so, upon what basis? And if not, how are you going to answer some of the things that were in the Bible? Well, I handled that question, but it took too long. And finally, I had to just send out a letter that I had answered it for a preacher not too long ago, and we sent that out, and it has really caused a stir, and it has been helpful. I had one preacher came up to me at the last conference, and he said, we took that letter. And we discussed it in our church for about 2 weeks. And we finally come to the conclusion it was the truth. We had a time. Now, they didn't believe that. They had a system of eschatology that ruled that out. But they went over everything and said, that's got to be the truth. So here's a question today. We're talking about the inheritance. Now, this is a temporal inheritance. Do some receive a better inheritance than others? If so, when? Why and how? And do some receive a poorer inheritance than others? If so, who, how, and when? Now we'll read our text. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord, my God. I did. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance, and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord, my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he had said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am, this day, 85 years old. And yet, I am as strong this day as I was on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there. What's Anakim? Yes, there they are again. And that cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and then the land rested from war. Two groups chose their own inheritance. The rest of them were assigned certain sections. Those are those who deliberately chose an inferior inheritance, and then those who chose a superior one. Those who chose the inferior inheritance were the tribes of Reuben, Dan, and half-tribe of Manasseh. And you remember, they opted to settle on the east bank of Jordan, on the wilderness side. Why? And what brought about this inferior inheritance, and what was inferior to it? Well, think about this. When they made that choice, they despised the good land that God had given to Israel on the west side. They had never seen it yet. And they were unwilling to wait for the unseen gift of God. A lot of folks can't believe. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They didn't see it. They saw what was on the inside and said, "Give me that." And they got shortchanged. It's their own fault. They chose it. Unwilling to wait for the unseen gift of God. We look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. They settled for what their carnal eyes could see. What a terrible, terrible decision to make. You're just going to settle for what you can see with your carnal eyes. You're going to get cheated. Bad. Something which was suitable for their mundane interests and existence, and something in keeping with their own natural powers and gifts. That is, I just want what I can handle myself. I don't want to bite off more than I can chew. Just what I can handle in keeping with my own powers and gifts. In doing so, they received their inheritance at the hand of Moses rather than Joshua. The law rather than Christ. That's a bad, bad deal. We're not under the law, we're under grace. There's no comparison between the two. They cut themselves off from access and fellowship with the main congregation of the Lord. Most of the Lord's people is on the other side of the river. All over there by themselves. Isolated. They were forced to live in a land without a Levite, without an altar, and without a house of worship. How do you like to do that? And of course, that caused more problems. We maybe get into that sometime later. So it is certain that they made a choice of an inferior inheritance, one in which the superior blessings of the new covenant were gravely curtailed, and in which they had a much poorer communion with their captain and with their brethren. Do you know? Of course, this was only 2.5 tribes. But in comparison to the Christian church today, I would say, and maybe perhaps I'm being a little large when I call, say, what's yet Christian church? Christendom. Christendom itself, I would say, over 99% of it cuts itself short and lives in this beggarly existence. Now, we're not talking about when you get to heaven. We're talking about our present life in Christ on this earth. Don't sell yourself short. Now the other, the tribe of Judah. Here are two groups picked their own inheritance. The tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, made choice of a superior inheritance and was given it. And the title of the message is The Pick of the Land. The superiority of Caleb's inheritance. It was located at the heart of the southern kingdom of Judah. It was hard by Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in it, right there in the middle of it. The appointed house of worship is right there by the appointed house of worship, Jerusalem. The place where God received his people, or the prayers were made, intercessions were made up to the Lord. It included Hebron, which was not only a city for the refuge. You got in trouble, and the avenger of blood was after you, and you didn't have far to go to Hebron. It's not only a city of refuge, but it was one of the cities that were given to the priests. And the priests, the tribe to which this one was given, Hebron was given, was the descendants of Aaron the high priest. So here was the city of the high priest and his inheritance. This inheritance had mountains and timber, as well as fertile valleys, fields, and abundant springs of water. That's where they got that big bunch of grapes from Eshcol, down there in that valley. In the valley of Eshcol, in which the rich soil, the finest and largest grape of the whole land, grew. And so the question may now be answered. Yes, some people receive a better inheritance than others in their temporal life on this earth, and some a poorer one. That is evident, isn't it? There are Christians, believers. They're justified. But they live in such a poor, beggarly, miserable existence. And then there are some that are going up to the mountain where the milk and honey flows and the grapes of Eshcol grow. Several years ago, I don't know whether you remember this, Joe, you remember that song that Bill Harvey wrote? Caleb's song, I want that mountain, I want that mountain. Give me that mountain where the milk and honey flows, where the grapes of Eshcol grow. I want that mountain. I forgot it now, but it's a song we sang that for a long time, inspired by this. But this inheritance is not in the resurrection life, but in this present sojourn on earth. Christ has earned thus for us our eternal inheritance, but he has also enabled us to triumph on this earth. But the measure of our faith and of our obedience makes for a wide disparity in our temporal blessings in this present life. Now we want to spend the rest of the time talking about the how and the why of the better inheritance. Three times we have read it in our text that Caleb wholly followed the Lord in unquestioned obedience. Obedience is the outworking of a steadfast faith. The reason works cannot be separated from faith is simply something you do in obedience to God. It inevitably works. Wholly followed the Lord. He believed what God had said. Because I wholly followed the Lord. That's given there. That is simply this. Caleb took God at his word in all his promises. He believed everything God said he would do. What God said would happen, would happen. He believed it. He believed that so much as when he was 85 years. How old are you, Junior? 10 years short, 10 more years, you think you can whoop God? Oh, my, that doesn't have anything to do with it. But there it is. 45 years he waited till he had that, that promise over there. Don't you know? Took him 38 more years messing around with that bunch of unbelievers in the wilderness until they all died. Don't you know he was hoping for them to drop dead? Hurry up and die so he can get out of here. Waiting all that time. He took him at his word. And all of his promises. Just believing God. Everything in this book. Everything that's said. I told that bus down there at Georgetown. I heard them bragging about believing the Bible. I heard them bragging about believing the King James Bible. I heard that several times. I said, I hear all this blowing about believing the Bible. I'm going to give you something kind of hard to believe. And I'm reading it out of King James, too. Believing the book. Joshua wholly believed him. The reason you know he wholly believed him, he wholly followed him. James says, I hear you say you believe. Sure, show me. I want to see your faith. Well, Caleb's faith was shown. He walked, he followed. He did everything God told him to do. Took him at his word and all his promises. I'm talking about a better inheritance. Refuse to be dismayed or put off by formidable obstacles. Don't you know when God said, I will give this to you? Don't you know that God said that when there shall not a man stand before you, that he had counted on them big men? That he'd already seen those giants? That none can stand before you? Don't you know that God has already taken those things into consideration in his assurances? In fact, this is what you hear. You hear Caleb and Joshua speaking in Numbers 14 and 7. They spoke to all the congregation of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. You see, because they'd already decided they were going to appoint themselves another captain and go back to Egypt. That's exactly what they said. Yeah, they're begging, don't do that. Don't rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. For they are our bread. So you don't be dismayed by the formidable obstacles. When called upon to testify, speak your heart. Joshua 14 and 7. This is what he said. I was 40 years old when the Lord, Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as was in my heart. Now, he and Joshua were the only one, but he didn't look to Joshua and said, Joshua, what do you think? They sat there and listened to those 10 unbelieving men say, This is too big. We need to abort this plan. Junk it. I know. Yeah. I understand God said, but we done been over there and looked the thing out. We can't take it. He wasn't intimidated by the majority report. He didn't look around and take a poll before he got on the evening news to make his statement. He said what was in his heart. And we're talking about steadfast faith. You listen to this person, you listen to that person, you listen to this big shot, you listen to this pundit, you listen to this authority, you read this book and you read that book, and all of them saying something else. What are you going to say? I'm going to say what's in my heart. You see, if you look around, you take your cue from religion, and you take your cue from the world, you take your cue from the theologians, you take your cue from the scholar. Where's God? I know what God told me. Let God be true and every man a liar. I spoke from my heart. Oh, no, you stand absolutely alone, regardless of the majority report. Yet confess the truth of God. We can scarcely appreciate the mighty power of this confession from the soul of a true believer. Well, let me give you one illustration, that if thou shalt confess in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. God dying? A dead man, dead 2 days, raised from the dead? Yes. Who believes that? I do. Who else believes that? I don't know. Don't pass this off too quickly. He spoke directly from his heart what the truth was. If you stand alone, confess it. In the course of that obedience, do your own reconnaissance. Caleb had been sent by Moses over there to spy out the land. Well, not only was he spying out the land for Moses and the rest of the tribes, he had his eye on it for himself. He said, "We're going to have this land? Boy, I like this." He never got the vision of what he saw around Hebron and that mountain down in that valley of Eshcol, that southern portion of the land there. He never got that out of his mind. He walked on it. He looked on it. And God put that in his heart. I know what that is. Spy out the land. Mark out your own. If you want the pick of the land. You say, "Brother Merle, I should have the pick of the land." Yeah. He picked it. Why couldn't you? What did he do? He believed God with all his heart. Went to looking at it and decided what he wanted. Caleb observed this particular part of the promised land with the other 11 spies, and he never got that vision of it out of his mind. Observe, how can we make this practical for you and me? Observe what might be had of the Christian life, and what are the most excellent of God's promises. Now, what am I saying? I'm talking to you. I'm talking to us. Do we want a better inheritance? In our present life, do we want a richer, fuller? Do I want to live my years in this flesh to the fullest of what is possible for a believer in Christ? Look around. Read the Bible. Find out what folks in the Bible inherited, what they experienced. I want that too. Read biographies, Christian biographies, what happened to them. Talk to other people. Talk with mature saints. Listen to, heed to elders and our monitors, our mentors who help us. This is the way you look over what possibly might be lived in the Christian life. Yeah, to a great degree. You say, "That sounds Armenian to me." Whatever it is, it's Christian. Yeah, you know, I've already said, one bunch sell themselves short. Don't do that. Pick out what you want. Go for it. Set your heart and sights on these and determine that if the Lord is willing, listen, if the Lord is willing for you to have them, you will have them. Now, this is not presumption. If the Lord is willing for you to have them, I want that. That nothing, no sin, no unbelief on my part shall stop me short from entering into them. That's what Caleb did. Now he had a little bit more than that. And I know his heart jumped when he got that promise. And it was way back over there in Numbers. In the 14th chapter, in verse 24th verse. 45 years earlier, Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. Well, Moses, the Lord, verse 26 says, The Lord said, "I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they shall not see the land which I..." different spirit in him has followed me fully. And I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it right where Caleb walked. His children go live there. Just as sure as that unbelieving bunch died in the wilderness, Caleb going to get that mountain. It's given to him. He has that promise. Seize on it. Never forget about it. Expect it. Never give up that expectation. Even though the years go by with little or no indication of ever getting it. While waiting for that inheritance, don't spend your time trying to get your inheritance. Don't steer your services and your giving and of your ministry keyed to getting what you want. Fight every battle that's assigned to you. Do what you're told. Follow the Lord. Wherever he's leading you. If your inheritance is that way and he's leading you that way, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. You know, what about your inheritance? That's all right. Be there for you. On time. Fight every battle assigned to you and wait patiently for your time to come. You don't have to be fretting and worrying that somebody else might slip ahead of you and get what God has for you. That is a marvelous truth. A glorious principle. You can get a hand on it. If God has something marked out for you, not a person on this earth can get it. It's reserved for you. Got your name on it. And all the devils in hell and the giants in the mountains can't stop you. Assigned to nobody else can. And don't get involved in what everybody else is receiving. Other than doing your part to see that God, that they have, they receive what God's best for them. We need to be interested. The Bible says, look not on the things of your own, but on the things of your brother. Let me see that everybody else gets their inheritance. How about yours? God doesn't promise to me. It's going to have that. Don't be dismayed or hesitant by any doubt of your personal qualifications to take this inheritance. Now, when you see what God has for you, you're going to say, yeah, but you know, that's far beyond my qualifications. That's too much. That's too big for me. Something like me. This is God's business. Don't worry about whether it is suitable to match your capabilities. Now 85 years old, age and time are largely meaningless. You say, Brother Merle, how much time you got left? I don't know. Doesn't make any difference. Whether it's a week, 10 years, 15 years, 2 days, a month, doesn't make any difference. As long as we're here, we're His. For the Lord, eternity. In eternity, what is 1,000 years for eternity or is a day? Time is all the same. It means nothing to the eternal God. God is the only, and His capability is the only thing that matters, and He is the eternal and He is the almighty. So our age and our strength and the time does not matter. Finally, I want to say this. This is not least at all, maybe the biggest. The best inheritance is always occupied by giants. Why is that? Well, because it's good, and they're the big boys, and they take the best. But more than that, the Lord leaves those giants there for us because we need them. Now, you got the grapes growing down in the valley, but you know, you can't get fat on grapes. That'll keep the bowels moving, but it won't make you fat. But he says these giants, they bred for us. We get fat on them. This is what you grow on. This is what sinew and strength and muscle and nutrition. Come to those giants. This is what Joshua And Caleb said, "They be our bread." Mountains, impossibilities will be there, but they're simply more bread for our consumption. We will actually grow spiritually strong, robust, and fat, feeding on giants. Amen. Pick the best of the land. Look to the Lord. Follow Him completely. Don't be dismayed. Wait, and when the time fully comes, walk up and take it. Amen. Well, let's sing a song.